Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest, and many of you know Michelle. Welcome, Michelle.
Good morning.
You and I have worked together at Mariahville. We've raised kids in the same age groups. Many times people in our communities grow up together and they raise their kids together. You and I are from very different backgrounds, very different places.
Very different, but then the cross connects are so similar. You're from the Midwest. I always say Maryland is in the South. And then just many other differences that we have, but then the similarities are just remarkable.
Wading in the creek was one of the great balancers.
Yes, it was. And was that fun? God, I would take us back to that in a minute over what we have now.
I remember some horrified faces about, are you going to let your kids really get in the creek?
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking, well, it's on our farm. We know where it's been and where it's come from.
And if
sure.
they don't get in, I'm pushing them in.
Yeah. What's the problem?
Right. I mean, I grew up in the creek. Those memories from my childhood of just going out after breakfast and not coming back till supper, playing in the woods, playing in the creek, catching crayfish.
And you drank out of the hose.
I did drink out of the hose.
And you survived.
Can you imagine how horrified these moms of today would be?
Without hand sanitizer. But we all survived. One of the things that I really want to talk about, and many of our listeners have asked for this topic, so if you have topic suggestions or questions you'd like to have addressed, hello@raisingconnections.com. The transitions in life. You and I have been through a lot of transitions, especially this year, and there's
Excellent.
A lot of our listeners who have gone through transitions, whether it's career transitions, parent transitions, kid transitions, marriage transitions, pet transitions, and some are aging transitions. This time last year, my father entered the nursing home. He had spent some time in the hospital and then transitioned from a rehab facility into a care facility because he had had some home health care folks come in providing services in the home, and then he had an upper respiratory infection, and then he went to the nursing home. It was not COVID. It was
right,
just a good old-fashioned.
Yeah.
So it started with the upper respiratory, and then it ended up in a GI, a gastric intestinal event, and then it resulted in what I knew, but I had not transitioned into my own family. Isn't it strange how you know these things?
But you're seeing it with a different lens.
When you're too close to it, you see it so differently. And so being on the receiving end of some of these realities and the supports that we needed as a group, as
right.
a family group, to get through this area where we all knew, a lot of us have nursing backgrounds or care backgrounds
right.
or farming backgrounds, so you know, but you don't know. He ended up in a long-term care facility and passed away in July. And what a transition. And what that led to was all of the pre-planning that my parents had done with the farm, with the businesses of the farm, because anybody who lives on a farm knows it's more than just getting the mowing.
Intricacies, yes.
You know, where all of those little things go. And the auctions that took place in preparing for this transition. And how we all planned that was really quite interesting. So when it came time for the funeral preparation, people who were in the organization said, it's all done. It's been done since 2009, all the way down to the music.
And you're doing it then when you're not quite as emotionally involved or overwhelmed.
I remember my parents, when they were doing that, they even picked out their headstone.
Oh, yeah. And you were thinking it was real weird. Weird.
I was.
Yes.
And now I'm so grateful.
Relieved.
Because it's what they wanted to leave their legacy.
Yeah. It's the part of leaving the legacy. It's the part of taking some of that chore, if you will, off of their children or extended family. So then you can just meet your emotions or your feelings or whatever you're going through at the time head on without having to deal with all of the background noise.
And it was very interesting because it was dad style.
It sounds absolutely perfect and was a true celebration.
Absolutely. One of the things that happened in that time frame, and again happened this fall, because we always have a family weenie roast. In Southern Indiana, that's what we call it, but then we also call it a fish fry too. In true Indiana style, the area that you roast the hot dogs in is an old drain pipe, so it's about 4 foot across, and there's a lot of logs in there. Nobody can roast just one weenie. You have to have at least four on a stick. But what it did was it allowed me to sit back and come up with this topic for today about transitions, because we've lost 7 members of our family. We've lost 5 of our pets and animals this year.
Yeah.
And there have been 12 new babies born into the family at large this year. And it's just that transition piece.
Which has been happening for generations. But when you're then now the generation that is facing it head on, it seems very different.
When you're close to it. Michelle, could you give us the breakdown on the generations?
Let's start in the beginning. This says the greatest generation ever born, 1901 to 1927. I can attest to that. My grandparents were pretty amazing.
That was my grandparents.
Right. Yeah. Then the next one, the silent generation, 1928 to 1945, which my father falls into that in the early 40s. My mom is 1945.
That's my parents. And they called themselves in 41 and 42 the war babies. Is it people were coming back from the war?
My dad was a war baby. Baby boomers. Everybody talks about the baby boomers. 1946 to 1964. Okay, Gen X, here we come, Rashan. 1965 to 1980. Okay, millennials. This was our big conversation. Millennials born 1981 to 1996.
That's a much smaller spectrum.
It really is. Gen Z is where our kids fall in. They are 1996 to 2012. Gen Alpha. We had to do a little digging into this one. This is born 2013 to 2025, which we are not there yet.
We're not there yet.
But this is the first generation that fully was born not ever knowing a life without technology.
So they're going to be saying things like entering it into the computer instead of typing it in.
It says, while you may not be used to generational names in everyday conversation, it's helpful to know the difference between, for example, baby boomers and Gen Xers.
One of the things in these generations that caught my attention was the war babies, the 1920s to 1940s. That was radio, where people are listening to us now.
Things come full circle.
By being in that Gen X and that baby boomer, I can remember some things that my mother said, the war baby generation, if you will. I can remember going to the grocery store and stepping on the new mats that made the doors open at the grocery store. And what an amazing thing that was.
Yes, I do remember that.
And my mother saying, it's like Star Trek.
Okay.
You know, the doors open automatically on Star Trek. So where the technology comes from and where things go and these transitions, we started this off with, as you get closer, you see things differently. And I hear so many things that my parents echoed, that my grandparents echoed. You know, those transitions as we go through life. So we were at the Weenie Roast, we've been to the funerals, we've had this big thing that we call family. And in my family, in the generation of the group that I'm in, it runs from 70 years old to 47. So that's a big
spread.
That's
about what ours is. My oldest cousin is 67, and my brother is the youngest, and he's 47. So it's a 20-year span, and you're from a big family too, so lots and lots of cousins in that range of 20 years.
Yes. And again, I'm going to go back to what mom said, because she's a touch point. And the closer you get to things, the more, like we said, you see them differently. Some of the podcasts that have been talking about transitions and what's going on, both politically, economically, financially, the Gen Xers being the squeeze sandwich generation. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's anything new.
No, but when you're in it, I feel like I never heard that term before, sandwich generation, until literally in the last probably 3-4 months, I'm hearing it over and over and over again. Okay, that does make sense because my parents aren't getting any younger, nor are my children, and I'm kind of caught in the middle.
None of us are getting younger, and I can remember my parents, who were also from big farms and small communities, but we moved about 100 miles north, so she had the go bag. So when the call came in and her parents were aging, she would hit the go bag and go. She had a dresser drawer full of clothes at home, home being 100 miles south, so if she needed to drop and run, she could. I can remember my mom with that go bag and those things of clothes and being in that sandwich generation talking about the Fair Credit Act, because she was required when they found out they, quote unquote, at the time was Western Electric, found out that she was expecting a child, she was required to resign. And in 1974, I was already here, full disclosure, but that was when she could actually get a credit card in her name. And before that, my father served in Vietnam, and while he was gone, she wanted to buy a new car. Her father had to sign for her, even though she had been married for almost 7 years and was working a job at Western Electric. So October is actually the 50th anniversary of the National Credit Act. But in her estimation of these things, she was saying things like, her mother, one of the reasons she needed that go bag was her mother didn't have a driver's license. And so oftentimes it was one family car, if there was a car, and commuting, and that car was used for work. Well, in the farm, it was a truck, and it was used for various different things. That transition for her led her to something that I thought you and I might be affected, and probably a lot of our listeners are affected by. So the Gen X, the latchkey kids, the hose drinking kids, the kids who played Pac-Man for the first time and Atari, and we know how to read maps and Waze and Google, and we've been this transition group. One of the things that she had said, because my father was serving in Vietnam, was this was the first time that kids were being raised without a stigma of divorce. That single parent families, and primarily women, were becoming a cultural norm because the loss of life and because of divorce situations coming back and lives changing. And so that makes Gen X the kids who actually had broken homes. And the real irony in that is a lot of the Gen X pieces, when you get on Facebook and you start looking at this, they're saying, oh, we were tough. We went to roller rinks. We had the key around our neck for when we got home because both parents were working.
Right.
And it made them a tough generation, but it also made them somewhat silent. Oftentimes Gen Xers are accused of being reticent or being very, eh, why bother? Having a bad attitude. But they're also one of the smallest generations. And when I went back and started digging into things, my mother, she blamed LBJ because she has a little recording and a little book that she has put tucked away. And who knows, the little pamphlets of that day were the Facebook of today, right?
That's true.
And so one of her little books said, well, if the boys were killed in Vietnam, then one man could have two families. And that way there would be enough children for the next generation.
Way to justify it.
One of the things that we're hearing is the populations are changing. Yeah. And there was a time where population was very high and now populations are very low. And one of the places you and I have experienced this is in hiring folks to work. And we've seen both our daughters, as they're going through this, they are the kids who were born not X, not millennial. And when you read this, there's almost a millennial Z.
Yeah, Zennials.
They're almost the Zennials because they actually still know how to write with pen and paper.
But you know what's funny? Because you only have the one daughter and I have two. They're 4 years apart. My oldest did learn how to write in cursive. My youngest did not. They stopped teaching it. She doesn't even use capital letters. Her name, when she writes her name, it's a lowercase first letter and the rest is all lowercase. When she got her driver's license, and then when my friend got her son's driver's license, they didn't know how to sign the signature line.
I'm going to pull this one back again because my great grandparents, who were born in the 1870s and 1880s, they were both literate, but they co-signed because they could sign their name instead of making an X on the documents or putting in their first initial.
Wow.
How's that for a 100-year-old circle? Woo!
I think from the generation like us that we do write cursive, we can print, we can kind of do all of that. And then fast forward, I mean, my youngest is 17 and she can't even sign her name.
Thanks, Michelle. When we come back, we'll pick up our conversation about life transitions.